It's a Team Danuk reunion this WrestleMania week, everybody. Welcome to WWE WrestleMania 40 predictions. Today, I am joined by my good friend over from WrestleTalk. We got Luke Owen in the house. Luke, it's a Danuk reunion. What's up?
I'm doing very well. How are you, my friend? Been a while.
I know. Well, I haven't seen you since London. And I got to tell you, I'm still replaying those London days. When I came back to the United States, I was like, you know what? It kind of sucks that we don't have the same sort of camaraderie.
Camaraderie.
There you go. The same camaraderie.
Camaraderie.
Whatever. You guys know the word. Like, we don't have that same type of community here in the United States, I feel. And so I was sort of missing just like going out and hanging out with you guys. It was very fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. I mean, we got All In coming back. I don't know. Are you coming back for this one? Are you coming over again?
I haven't decided.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I haven't decided.
I mean, there are still tickets available. So, like, if you do want to go, there are still tickets around.
Yeah, oh no, for sure. I think for me, it's more so of like, will it be worth it for me from like a creative standpoint? Because you know me, I go with like the intention of getting a shit ton of content so that I can make money. And if I don't get that shit ton of content, I don't make that kind of money. So then I end up going at a loss. And so that's the only reason why I'm debating whether or not I should go.
I think that's fair. That's a fair reason to not come across to the UK, to London again.
But I will say this, I think everybody over at WrestleTalk is probably the reason that I would want to go back again, just to like hang out.
Yeah, oh, we had such a good time. That was such a fun weekend. And like, I'm starting to get geared up again because Rev Pro have just announced the main event for their show they'll be doing the day before. So they're doing Luke Jacobs versus Michael Oku for the British Heavyweight Championship at the Copper Box again. So like, we were texting each other being like, let's get our tickets now because we can get our tickets then. And then we'll make a full wrestling weekend of it.
Yes, exactly. Like, that's so much fun to do. And I'm looking forward to doing that this weekend for WrestleMania. So oh my God, there's a lot happening, Luke. Yeah, happening.
Isn't there so much on at the moment? Like, especially with AEW going to like their semi-regular monthly pay-per-views now. Like, we were putting together our plans for live reactions and our live parties that we're doing for pay-per-views and stuff. And WWE just announced Clash at the Castle 2 and there's Dynasty coming up. And I'm like, I don't know when I'm going to like, when do I go home? Like, when do my weekends happen?
Exactly. You're like, when do I have a life? I have a child, damn it. I have a kid.
My two-year-old don't see me anymore.
I know. Oh my gosh. Well, Luke, I gotta tell you, I'm so happy that you said yes to do this show because I really miss chatting with you on a weekly basis. So with that being said, how are you feeling heading into WrestleMania? Before we get into all the predictions, what's your excitement level? Where are you at?
My excitement level is very high this year. I was saying on another video recently that I feel like everyone's always excited for WrestleMania. Everyone, like, no matter, it's like the Royal Rumble. Everyone's always going to be excited for WrestleMania. Despite, like, no matter how bad the build is, people are excited for WrestleMania because it's WrestleMania. I feel like this, the hype is huge for this show. Like, I was listening to yours and Sean's review, like, when you were doing the Raw review, and like, every Ultra Chat you were getting was like, can't wait for WrestleMania, can't wait for WrestleMania. And I was like, man, the hype is real this year. It is huge. It's just, and it's kind of seeping into me. Like, every time I watch Raw, I'm like, I'm really excited. And we're joining up with a live watch party for our live reactions we're doing this weekend, which means I'm going to be in a pub with 300 other wrestling fans. So I'm like, I'm even more stoked. My excitement for this show is massive, even though I don't think there's a lot of like, there's some weak matches on the card, but like, the hype is real. I'm super stoked. How about you?
I think it's more so like you mentioned, there's maybe some weak matches on the card, but I think that the really great matches and the stuff that we're really looking forward to are carrying so much of the show that you're like, okay, I'm going to let the matches that may not be as strong on paper sort of surprise me and see how they turn out. Because I think that's sort of how I'm feeling about some of the matches. Like, I feel for the most part, like every match is going to bring something different. So I'm like, okay, I know that I'm going to have a good time with the show and every match is going to be a little different. I think there's a lot of matches that could be that can be potential show stealers. And we'll get into that in just a second. But I want to go ahead and let you guys know, if you want to help support this podcast, get any questions, comments, or statements, anything you want to to say your predictions, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat, and it helps out the show tremendously. And as always, shout out to Sheldon Jackson for coming through with the 5DWO memberships. We also have Joe Bab 64, who kicks us off with our first super chat, saying, "My first exposure to Denise was on a Friday morning with Luke. I've been a fan since I joined her channel and watch hundreds of her podcasts. It's great to see you guys back together." I love that. You know, I love that. Luke, I used to wake up, you know what? If it wasn't for Wrestle Talk, because I used to wake up so goddamn early, like 7 a.m. I was sitting down in my seat. If it wasn't for Wrestle Talk, I would never have been prepared to do Sirius, because then it's like now I'm up at 5:30, sometimes sooner than that, because I'm sitting down by 5:30.
I was going to say, Denise, you remember those shows when you used to, like, you'd show up 2 minutes before we went live, and you're like, "I woke up 5 minutes ago," and your hair's all disheveled and stuff, and then I'm there, like, doing my diatribe and stuff, and you're just going, "Hmm."
I know, there was times I was like, just tell me when we're on the air, just tell me, because, like, I'm like a show monkey, Luke. The second that I'm on the air, I'll go from this to up, alive, here I am, I'm here for work. But honestly, I think those shows very much prepared me. But it was a good time, though, because you never knew what we were going to talk about.
Oh, I miss those days. They were great times.
Me too, me too. Pomerales DWL member says, "Denise and Luke, let's effing go." Well, my friends, let's go ahead and get started. Enough beating around the bush, and let's get to it. All right, so this time, I'm going to work things differently. Usually, I built myself up to the biggest match. This time, we're starting with the big stuff and working our way down, just so that we spend a good amount of time on the good stuff. So I want to kick things off, Luke, with the tag team match. We got Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns and The Rock. And of course, we know here that if Seth and Cody lose, it's going to be bloodline rules. And if they win, the bloodline is banned from ringside. And let's be real, like we all know it's got to be bloodline rules, right? What are you thinking?
It has to be. I think the second that they announced that there was a stipulation attached to this of, like, if we win, we get X. If you win, you get Y. The second they did that, I was like, well, it's going to be X. Like, it's definitely not going to be Y. The second you give it a name like bloodline rules, you're like, well, okay, cool. Well, the bloodline are winning then. So it really becomes a question of who pins who. Because these are like four guys that it was like, well, you don't want to be pinning The Rock. Like, because it's The Rock, he's just come back. You can't pin Roman Reigns because his whole gimmick is he doesn't get pinned. He's only been pinned once in 4 years. So then because, okay, who of Seth and Cody are we pinning? Are we pinning Seth, the world champion, a night before his world title defense? Or are we pinning the guy who's going for the other world title in the main event of the following show? If I was a betting man, which I'm not, but if I was, I say The Rock pins Cody.
See, now here's the thing. I agree with you because I think whatever happens specifically in this tag team match with who pins who is going to be very telling of what's going to happen the following night, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like the most, the obvious one, right? Because you said The Rock pins Cody, right? That might be the most obvious one in terms of like the most, I would say the most likely to happen, right? However, the one that concerns me is if Cody pins The Rock. Because if Cody pins The Rock, let's just say that happens, he ain't winning against Roman Reigns the following night.
But maybe that's the double swerve. Maybe, like, you know, if Cody pins Rock night one, that is going to make you, the viewer, think like, well, there's no way that he's beating Roman as well. And then when he does beat Roman the following night, that's the swerve, because it's playing with your expectations.
See, I don't know. So it's almost like you think you know what the game plan is, but then you're like, wait, that could be a swerve on top of that. So yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah. But, and I don't know what the game's plan is, because
you know what got me thinking though about this, Luke, is that we've had 2 weeks in a row where Cody Rhodes was laid out on Raw.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing as well, right? Like, logic dictates, usual wrestling logic dictates, if you're laid out the show before, you're winning at the pay-per-view. And Cody's been laid out, as you said, 2 weeks running. So which is why I think you pin him again. Like, you pin him on night one, he gets his big win on night two. And like, night one becomes Empire Strikes Back, which means that night two becomes Return of the Jedi. And that's when the good guy eventually wins.
See, I'm with you on that. I agree with you on that. I also think that that's the way that it should play out, where it's like, okay, you had 2 weeks of getting beat. So now, especially that last week, you had Seth Rollins, this Monday, also get beat. So I feel like they got to get some sort of revenge, but I don't think so. I do think that Roman and The Rock have to win night one. If they don't win night two, all of a sudden there's going to be way more question marks surrounding night two. So we might as well get into that one and kind of incorporate it into all of this. Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes.
I've got to think, right? Like coupling this with what you were just talking about then with, you know, like what are we going to do on night one leads into night two. We can do swerves upon swerves. Do you not think with WrestleMania 40 and the story they told, the right answer is just to do the easiest thing? Like, it's just like, it doesn't matter about swerves. Doesn't matter about your expectations. Just do what the simplest thing. Do the easiest route. Go route A on all of this. So the Bloodline win night one and Cody wins night two. Let's not over egg the pudding. Let's make this as simple as possible and just do, and Cody wins. And at the end of the day, Cody is the winner. Because I do think Cody's winning the title. I think that it's, they've got so much goodwill at the moment. I think WWE as a whole have got so much goodwill, and everyone is kind of supporting them and on their side. I think you do a lot of damage, possibly irreparable damage, if you screw the fans again, just to try and get one more year out of this story. I think now's the time, right?
I agree with that. I think for me, like, my mindset heading into this match, and even though there's been times where they've made me second guess myself, where I started to think, man, what if Cody doesn't win? But the whole time I've had this feeling that it has to be Cody. And the reason for that, I mean, there's multiple reasons. Well, one, no offense, but you can't do this guy dirty like that 2 years in a row. Like, that's effed up, man. It really is. And then the other one, it's like the booking heading into this match started off a little bit rocky, right? Like, we all know sort of it started off rocky, really. It really did. But it's like we finally got to a place where they sort of ironed out the details of this story. And so now that things are looking a lot more clear heading into WrestleMania, I feel like having this really nice conclusion that makes sense in having Cody Rhodes overcome these obstacles, overcome all of these beatings that have taken him have only angered him and inspired him to win even more, right? I don't know. Maybe we'll see. Maybe we won't. But I really do think that Cody needs to win this, and they need to help make this new star, man. Like, mm-hmm. He just can't keep losing. Like, I feel like if Cody were to lose again, Luke, I don't know. Like, I can't justify cheering for the man in terms of him finishing his story anymore.
I don't think it's the right call. I really don't. Like, I get the business idea, of Roman sells tickets, but you know who else sells tickets? Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is shifting merch. He's selling tickets. He's your guy. And I think now is the time to crown that guy and give him however long it is with the belt. Plus, as well, I was thinking, like, if Rock pins Cody night one, that can set you up to do Cody Rock at SummerSlam. And then you've got another big main event you can do at SummerSlam. And if you want to do Rock and Roman down the road at WrestleMania, you've got your reasons to do it. But you don't need the belt. So you just have Cody with the belt. Now, I think it's the right time.
So we're in agreement then. Rock, Roman, night one for the win.
Yep.
And then Cody, night two for the win.
Absolutely.
And go for it.
I was going to say, the only other great idea that I've heard, this was an Ollie Davis pitch to me, and if anyone's watched any of my other videos that I've done, people will know this, but I love this idea, is because it's Bloodline rules, there's plenty of screwiness, Roman pins Cody, and they do a dusty finish, and the match gets restarted, and then Cody wins. Like, I don't love Starrcade 1997, but the dusty finish is part of Cody's story. That was his first promo when he came back, was the story, you know, of like, my dad won the title on a count out. And you really incorporate a lot of that into this match of making you think Cody has not won this match, so that when he does win the match, it's an even more of a cathartic release. It's almost, look, the only reason I'm saying not to do it is because I don't think you should just troll your audience like that.
Yeah, I like your original idea where you were like, what did you say? Don't put the egg in the pot or something. Or
Don't over-egg the pudding.
Don't over-egg the pudding.
Yeah.
See, that was the first time I've ever heard that, so I'm going to have to steal it. I didn't even know pudding had eggs, so this is like news to me.
This might be a Britishism because our pudding is different to yours.
That's probably true. I have no idea. Although now I feel like common sense would dictate that pudding does have egg.
Yeah, maybe. But like, yeah, don't over-egg this pudding. Let's just go route one with this. I like the pitch in a way because I like the chaos of it all, but I am route one. And all I right. am, let's just go with the, let's go with the win.
I'm sticking with you on that one. We got infamous Raider Loco here who sends in a very generous super chat. Thank you so much, man. He says, won't be able to watch until later because work, blah, 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 but had to say been looking forward to this since I heard the announcement of the greatest tag team ever back together more than WrestleMania 40. I love it. See, Luke, like we got to do more Danuke stuff, man.
We're the draw, man. Like wrestling needs us.
You're the only person I would wake up this early with to host on a random ass Wednesday.
Dude, when you messaged me being like, what time do you want to do it? I was like, I've got to factor in Denise's wake up time. So like, what time can I pitch for her to do this show?
You know, it's funny. So I set my alarm for 6 a.m. today and I didn't wake up until 7:50. So I was like, oh shit. Like I really like, last night I was like, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to do this and that. And it did not happen. I just ended up staying up too late.
I originally pitched you a later time. I was like, I've got to factor in the Denise wake up. Yeah, at first, like I text you an hour later than we were doing this. And you text me back being like, oh no, I'm busy then. I need to do it an hour earlier.
Yeah,
like,
I'm busy, yeah.
Whoa, an hour earlier? That actually works out better for me. Yeah, great. Let's do it an hour earlier.
Today is actually kind of a crazy day. But then again, it's WrestleMania week. And everything happens on the same week. Like that's just the way it is. I love it. Infamous Raider Loco, thank you so much for the super chat. All right, so let's keep it going. Let's go ahead and get into this next one. And the next match we need to discuss is Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight Championship. Luke, personally, I feel like there's only one direction to go with it, and that is the Drew McIntyre direction.
I completely agree. Especially now that I've announced Clash of the Castle 2, Drew walking in as champion, if he's ready by that point, taking on CM Punk. Like that's your main event of Drew is going to be all Braveheart and he's going to protect Scotland from a CM Punk world title win. Punk would relish in that as well, going in there as the uber heel, because he could heal that up massively in Scotland and Drew can be the all conquering Scottish hero. That is fabulous to me. Drew has to win. I mean, the question for me really is less of if Drew wins is, and I don't think we will, but do you think there's the cash in?
No, I don't want the cash in. Honestly, I just don't think that I am as moved by it right now. I don't think that they have really made a compelling case for Priest as of lately with the storytelling. I just don't feel like he's got enough of, you know, the fire right now to go and, for example, take the moment away from Drew McIntyre or take the moment away from Seth Rollins or the moment away from Cody or anybody else for that matter. Like, I just feel like right now there hasn't been enough put into Damian Priest for me to say that that would be substantial enough for that to happen. So for that reason, I would have to say hard pass on any cash in at all for WrestleMania.
So you and me, Drew, like it's just Drew.
Yes, it's just Drew. No one is doing the work he's doing. Like this Monday when they did that whole freaking burying CM Punk's dreams, I thought, first of all, effing brilliant. Like whoever in particular came up with that specific idea needs like a bonus or something this week, because I thought that was really freaking clever. But then on top of that, you have all of the things that Drew McIntyre has been doing on social media. He is, honestly, I'm just going to say this, like sometimes I don't really see a lot of people's like social media pages. Sometimes I miss it, but people tag me in things that are like substantially really great. But Drew McIntyre is the one person that I truly feel is utilizing social media at the very best to push forth not just his story, but also the company. Because while you're pushing the story, you're pushing the company by getting more people's eyes on that in case their eyes weren't already on it. So I do think he's been doing really great. And the stuff he's been doing has sort of been refreshing for Drew McIntyre, because we got so used to the exact same Drew McIntyre. And there was no problem, right? We all love Drew. But this Drew, I think this Drew is the version of a lot of people that we don't show in public.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Like I'm not really on Twitter anymore these days, but like I see. Yeah, I got it as a hellscape, and I got off of it and stuff. I moved over to Instagram. It's much nicer over there.
No, it's not. No, it's well, not. I mean, it's terrible there too.
I've got a very small following, so I have a very small subset of people who follow me over there. It's much nicer. I get nothing but nice comments. But I know, right?
You know what I got today? Sorry to sidetrack. I got a freaking notification from TikTok warning me about anti-bullying protection because they have noticed a surge in the mean comments that I get. And I'm like, yeah, well, welcome to my social media life.
I was going to say, where have you been for the past 5 years?
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Sorry to interrupt.
But yeah, so I don't like see it in real time, but then like I see screenshots of it on Reddit or stuff like that. Or I see it on the WrestleTalk news and whatnot. And what I really love about it is Drew has picked the right place to do the insider references. He's not going out on TV doing Cry Me a River jokes. He's doing it on social media. That's the place to do it because those are the people that are going to get it. Everyone who's on social media knows what that is. So when he puts Cry Me a River on the background, people go nuts for it. If you made that joke on TV, falls flat. Or if like 20% of the audience gets it. He understands the game. He understands the audience. He knows what the WWE audience is. He knows what the online audience is. And he just knows how to work both of them. And he's doing awesome, awesome work at the moment.
He's been very clever with this whole thing. So Drew McIntyre for the win. I think we've established that. We got Jana here who sends in a super chat. Thank you so much to Jana who says, Drew wins World Heavyweight Championship. Priest tries to cash in. Punk ruins it because he wants to take that championship from Drew himself. Hey, I don't hate this. I actually kind of like this.
Yeah,
I love your idea about doing that CM Punk Drew McIntyre match. Hopefully, if he's good by then at Clash at the Castle.
Yeah, no, I really like that as an idea because I'm with you. I don't think Priest is. When he won Money in the Bank, sure, he felt like he was at that top level. He's cooled off hugely since then. So I don't think he's the right guy at this point. I mean, this is going to sound like a really bad comparison, and I don't mean it as this way. But you remember when Jack Swagger like won the World Heavyweight Championship from Chris Jericho? And I was like, huh, yeah, okay, well, I guess we're elevating this mid-card guy. That is what Damian Priest cashing in now would feel like. And I don't want that. I don't. For Damian Priest, I want him to feel like a tippity-top guy that then cashes in on another tippity-top guy.
Right. Nobody wants to have the emotion of, oh, we're going this direction. Damn. Like, nobody wants that.
No.
Thank you so much to Jan. I appreciate this, and I like your prediction, so good stuff there. All right, let's keep it going. Let's go ahead and get into this match that I'm very excited for, and that is Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch, the Mommy versus the Man. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
They have really done a lot, especially the last couple of weeks, to like continue to heat up this story. Becky Lynch has said she wants this match to open up night one of WrestleMania. How are you feeling based on the whole entire story of this all?
I feel like the story got slightly sidetracked for a couple of weeks where the story was Becky's overworking herself. She's too busy with Liv. She's too busy with Nia. But for the last couple of weeks where it has just been focused on Becky and Rhea, I don't really feel that's played much into it. She hasn't wrestled for 2 weeks. So it doesn't feel like she's now going in at a much lower level of stamina than Rhea is, who also isn't wrestling on TV. And it just feels like we've just done 2 weeks of brawls. But I think what is carrying this match is the star power. Like, it is the huge star power of Rhea Ripley and the massive star power of Becky Lynch, who is all over the place at the moment because she's got a book to promote. So it feels like a massive match. They could have actually done no angles on TV and it still would have felt like a massive match because it's big names. And I'm really stoked for this one because I think they are going to have a great, great match. I'm not sure if Rhea Ripley's capable of having a bad WrestleMania match. Like, I think she's just got a track record of having great matches. I even like the first Charlotte one she had in the pandemic mania. So I'm stoked for this one. And I think I'm going for a Ripley retention.
I agree with you on all accounts. One, this match is being driven by star power. Two, I don't think that either one of these women can have a bad match. So that's, you know, obviously a great thing. And three, I do think Rhea Ripley is retaining as well. I have felt this way from the very beginning. Like, even though there's been some very compelling arguments between the two, it just feels like when it comes to Rhea Ripley, the thing about her is that she's a big star, of course, right? But what have people been wanting more of in her reign? They want more matches. They want more of that, more physicality for Rhea Ripley. And so I feel because we didn't get as much physicality throughout her reign, this first portion of it, I feel like we're left wanting more. And that's why I think that she needs to retain, so we can hopefully see some more of those, potential matchups.
I completely agree. Like, what's been her big matches since she won the belt? Like, she had Zelina Vega at Backlash, which was no one believed that Zelina Vega was going to win. Natalia at a Saudi show. It was like, she never felt like she's had a credible challenger. Up until Nia Jax at Chamber was probably the first credible challenger that she's had. And that was 2 months ago. So I feel like we now... what we do Becky Lynch, and then you've got Liv Morgan around the corner, and all of a sudden there's a much bigger list of potential contenders for her to take the belt off of her. I don't think that's the right time to take the belt off of her.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. You basically highlighted all of the matches that she's had, and it's true. I was like, he didn't miss not one of them. Those really are it. Really. So, Rhea Ripley for the win on this one. And like you said, this one's been driven on star power. Mm-hmm. And I also feel that it has sort of taken, I don't know if this is the right word, but I think it's taken a lot of the thunder from Io Sky and Bayley.
Yeah,
I don't feel they've gotten the same amount of, I don't know, just like promotion.
Yeah. Well, like, why wasn't Bayley at the press conference?
Exactly. Like, she wasn't there. Neither was Io. I mean, Becky and Rhea had this confrontation and that match wasn't even official. Becky still had to qualify.
Yeah. But they were basically telling you, oh, by the way, this is your WrestleMania women's match that we're going to do. Sorry, Nia Jax, you're definitely not winning an Elimination Chamber. So, yeah, I completely agree with you, because I think Bayley and Io have been kind of done a little bit dirty. They've had story, and it's been like, oh, but it's been okay. I just don't think they've been given. Do you know what my biggest, I've said this in a few shows, but do you know what one of my real bugbears is with the Bayley promotion?
What is it?
When Cody comes out to the ring, he's announced as the 2024 Men's Royal Rumble winner. Bayley is just from San Jose, California, Bayley. And I'm like, why aren't we saying that she's a Royal Rumble winner? She is.
I did not notice that until you said that just now.
Yeah. They don't give her the same credit. And she's not under the posters. She wasn't at the press conference. More respect need to be put on Bayley's name.
I agree, especially because when she won the Royal Rumble, it was such a nice moment and people were like, hell yeah. And, you know, all of these things. And it's like, damn, like, that's kind of unfortunate. We got a super chat here from Dream Ninja 77 who says, this is my main event of the weekend. This one is special. Rhea needs to retain and face Bianca next year.
I like that a lot.
Have some really good ideas. And that is one of them.
I like
that a lot. Yeah, says, I think Rhea is keeping the title. It's clear they keep her and Bianca away from each other. I think it's the match for WrestleMania 41 with the tag team line. With the tagline will be title versus streak.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. It's another year of Rhea Ripley, and I know some people are against long title reigns, especially like a 2 year run. But like Rhea Bianca, that is a big, big time matchup. And if you are pushing Bianca as Miss WrestleMania, that's a huge money match to make.
Yeah, part of me, I know it's still like, we don't even know if that match is happening, but let's just say it was. If we were sitting WrestleMania 41, seeing Rhea versus Bianca, and like Will says here, title versus streak, I think I would go with Bianca, because I kind of want to see the female version of the streak.
100%. And I think that's what they're building it for.
Oh, man, I hope so. I really love all these ideas. Your idea about CM Punk and Drew, Janice's idea about CM Punk, if the cash-in happens, CM Punk stopping that, and then Will Chisholm's idea here for this title versus streak. I'm sold on all three.
In all fairness, I want to give the credit to Dan Layton, for my Raw co-host, for the CM Punk thing, because he said it to me, and I was like, honestly, I've been running with that idea and I cannot get it out of my head. So credit to him on that one.
We're just passing it along. We're just passing along his idea. I love it. All right. And let's go ahead, since we were just talking about it right now. Io Sky versus Bayley. So we were talking about the thing that's missing in this particular matchup is promotion. The other thing that I missed that I think we've been missing, and Luke, you tell me if you agree with this, is I just don't think that they have built up Io Sky to be the champion that I think she could have been.
I 100% agree with you. Much like Rhea Ripley, what's Io's big matches been since she won the belt? like, I think she won the belt at SummerSlam last year. And what's been her big title matches that she's done since then? What's been her big storylines that she's done since then? It doesn't really feel like they've had the epic title run for either of the women's champions. So I don't, yeah, I feel like there's been something missing here. Like, a lot of Io's title run has been built around actually the damage control sort of, it's always been a backdrop for the damage control storyline of bringing in Kairi Sane and then splitting away from Bayley and Dakota Kai being revealed as the mastermind. And so, like, Sky's just a pawn within that story as opposed to being the actual queen of that story.
I agree with that, because right now when you said what are some of the big matches, the only thing I can think of was War Games. And again, that was not a one-on-one type of situation. And then I thought about her match with Bianca, but I was like, wait, she wasn't champion yet when that happened. I was like, wait, so what else is there? And I'm probably forgetting something. I'm sure someone here will point it out. But I just feel like they just haven't done that, which sucks because, I mean, like, they call her what? The genius of the sky? You could have such a, they could have done such a cool thing with her and just really promoted her even more so as this, you know, person that does high flying maneuvers and all of that. You don't really have a champion like that every single day. But yeah, her particular story as a champion got lost in the overwhelming arc of the story with damage control, which in a way was great because I love the damage control storyline, but it wasn't about Io and Bayley. It was about damage control and Bayley.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. My question to you is, do you think we get the hugger entrance?
It would be nice if we did. I think it would be really, really nice. I wouldn't hate it. I would actually think it would be like a nice moment. I don't know if we will though.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Dan said this to me on our prediction show. I don't feel like they've earned it. Like, I think that should be a huge moment. The return of the hugger, the side pony and everything for Bayley. I don't know if this story has earned that moment.
Do you think she would go full hugger back again? Because I don't know. I kind of feel like it would be, does it feel a little outdated? Or maybe she can do a modern version of that?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Kind of like what Sammy's done with his return of like his NXT theme and his kind of like NXT presentation and stuff. It's an updated version of what you were doing 5 years ago in NXT.
Yeah, I agree. I just feel like I don't know if she can go back to the side ponytail. I think it would kind of be like just taking a couple steps backwards when you can find a new version of that.
Yeah, it would oddly feel like a nostalgia run.
Yeah, exactly. You don't necessarily want that. It's like too early in Bayley's career for her to be playing just the hits. Honestly. We got this DWO member here, Jared Jackson, who says they are fumbling Bayley's babyface turn. I don't know if they're fumbling it. I don't think I feel that strongly with how they're handling her babyface turn. I just, again, don't think that they've made her feel like a big enough deal heading into possibly, yeah, her biggest match of her career, actually. Yes.
It should be, absolutely. Winning the Royal Rumble, going to face the Women's Championship. Yeah, I'd say this is her biggest match she's had in WWE. And I agree with you. I wouldn't use the word fumble. Underpromoted her babyface run is how I would put it.
Rafael Garcia says, I don't care about anything else. I need to hear Poppy for Io's entrance.
That would be pretty rad, actually. I'd be on board for that.
I only remember like one Poppy NXT song, and that's kind of my extent of my knowledge on Poppy, but I know she's very popular, so there's that. But the other thing that I did want to mention, so official predictions for this, Bayley?
Oh yeah, I think this has got to be Bayley's moment. Has to be.
I think so too. All right, here we go. Let's keep it going. We got this United States Championship match, Logan Paul defending against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. Is there a possibility that Logan Paul retains?
I think so. I think with SummerSlam in Cleveland, I think Paul retains here. And I really, it's because A is the SummerSlam thing, but also B, I don't think Randy Orton needs the US title right now. And I don't think the US title does anything for Kevin Owens either. So I'd keep it on Logan Paul.
You know, I was almost going to say that because I was split on this one. I was thinking that it could go to Randy or Logan Paul retaining. But the one big thing, and you said it right off the bat, it's Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Logan Paul, I agree, is going into Cleveland SummerSlam still as a United States champion. So now that one doesn't feel as split as I thought that it was going to feel.
Yeah, and I think you can almost do the opposite of the Drew in Scotland thing of taking Logan Paul as an uber heel into Cleveland, as like his hometown of Cleveland, against someone like an LA Knight. Because I thought they were going to do Logan LA Knight at WrestleMania. When Logan won the belt in Saudi Arabia, I was like, oh, brilliant, that sets up a Logan Paul match for WrestleMania. And it hasn't happened. So maybe do it at SummerSlam. You can push LA Knight in as the over the incredible babyface going up against Logan Paul in his hometown.
I thought the exact same thing. I really thought we were going to see LA Knight and Logan Paul too. And I thought that would have felt, I don't know, I think that one would have felt, have we been sitting here talking about that match, I think a lot of us would have been sort of split on what they were going to do.
Yeah, I agree.
We got Dream Ninja 77 who says Poppy for EO, Paramore for Bailey. Let's effing go. I saw that she wants to get Paramore. I love Paramore. So that would have been freaking awesome.
Yeah. I mean, like I was slightly too old when Paramore came out. Like I was, the way that they were sort of presented was like, no, Luke, you're in your like late teens. You should not be into Paramore. But having said that, I'm now an older, wiser man. So I'll go back to it. Like, oh no, they're really good. Like, unfortunately the marketing machine, it didn't work for me at the time. It kind of worked against me at the time.
But, really?
Yeah, well, they were kind of pushed for like, this is a band for girls, for teenage girls. And I'm like, no, I'm really? I'm an adult now, so I shouldn't really like that band. And I was wrong. I was foolishly wrong.
See, I guess I didn't realize that because I was a teenage girl when Paramore really just like, you know, took off. But because they had such popular songs like Misery Business and some other ones and Crush, 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 and they were all over the radio, really. I mm-hmm. just imagined that like everyone was a fan of Paramore. I love them, though. They're great. I got to see them at the Eras tour, so.
Oh, cool.
Love them a whole lot. All right, let's go ahead and continue on. Let's go ahead and get into Gunther versus Sami Zayn. Luke, I'm a little bit torn on this one because I love Gunther. Of course, I love Sami Zayn, but I think with the story that they've been telling the last couple of weeks on Monday Night Raw, it does feel like this is Sami's to win. And if he doesn't, it would kind of be like, oh, damn, they kind of did Sami dirty.
I can see two options here, and one of them hit me today after, because I recorded my other WrestleMania predictions video yesterday, and it was today I was sort of sitting there, I was like, oh, that's a potential finish they could do, because I've been pushing that Sami Zayn is winning. I've been kind of like pushing this whole thing through. I think Sami Zayn is winning the belt here. They told you up front on TV, this is a Rocky story. Rocky 1 was Elimination Chamber, so this is Rocky 2, and he overcomes the baddie and he wins the belt. They've even set up Chad Gable to be his Mickey in the corner that's like training him through, and they did a training montage video on Raw. So I was like, well, surely Sammy's winning. And then I thought, what if Chad throws in the towel for him?
God.
And that's the finish of the match. Sami is like, he just throws in the towel, and you can push the tension between Sami and Chad. It also sets up Chad to go against Gunther and be the guy to beat Gunther for the belt. It's an interesting finish. They haven't done in a Gunther storyline yet. And it's kind of got me thinking, it's like, that's actually, I think it'll be a really interesting finish. It's either that or I think Sami wins. Gunther retaining, I don't fully see, but the other one of those two I could go with.
Shit, now you got me thinking twice. I was about being like, it's Sami Zayn with the story that they're telling, but then you brought up this whole towel portion, and I'm like, yeah, I can see that, because what is it that Chad Gable told Sami Zayn? You can't beat Gunther, and he's been trying to help him beat Gunther. He's been trying to help him get into the mindset, get ready, the physicality, all of that. We saw the training video on Raw, and that was great. I'm still going to go with Sami Zayn winning. I feel like that's the safer prediction. But damn, if they do the towel thing, it will get a lot of people just like, you know, jaw dropped.
I think so. Because they did that finish in NXT when Triple H was running the show as well. They did it with Mustache Mountain going up against the Undisputed Era. And Tyler Bate threw in the towel for his mentor, Trent Seven, because his leg was like, he feared that he was going to get his leg broken. You do that angle here and Chad can push it. It's not as a heel turn. It is I did this for your own good. You can't see it now, but I did this for your own good. Sami can see it the other way of, no, you took away my moment again. And you can almost go into a little three-way feud between them.
Man, I'm stressed out now. I thought this was going to be like an easy solution here, Luke.
Yeah, I know, right?
All right, well, so is Gunther now your official pick? Are you changing it?
I'm going with Gunther as my official pick.
All right. I'm sticking with Sami Zayn. Yeah. I'm just going with my gut here.
Maybe I should really think about this route one like I have for the other big match. No, overbook it. Let's overbook this.
I think there's a good chance that can happen. We'll see. All right, we got Jordan Amos here who sends in a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, Paul disowning Ohio since he's the champ of the entire U.S. world would be fantastic.
Yeah, did I just love say
the
that.
U.S. world? The you U.S. Did, yeah. would, excuse me, that, would be fantastic.
So American of you. You think the U.S. is the entire world. You're so U.S.-centric, Denise.
Oh, that's terrible.
You Hollywood elites.
And of all the shows to do that on. I was going to say, the one time I got someone here from the U.K. and I'm out here saying the U.S. world. to be fair, I just read it differently.
Yeah. I love Jordan's idea, though. If Logan Paul cutting that promo, be like, I am the champion of the entire United States, but not Ohio, because I hate this place. That would be so great.
Oh, man, I love that. We got Ice-T here says, three-way feuds and three-way matches, lazy booking. Do you feel that way?
No, I think sometimes they could be quite interesting, right? Like, I think three-way feuds can be interesting. I don't know if I'd say it's lazy booking.
I like it. Sometimes you got to switch things up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we haven't got loads of them on this card. Like, apart from the Logan three-way, is there any other three-ways on this on the show?
Let me see. No, I mean, there's the multi-man tag teams, but that's kind of about it, honestly.
And there's the couple of trios matches.
Right, exactly. So I think for the most part, we're okay. All right, so let's go ahead and continue on here. And let's go ahead and jump into this next match here. And this one is brother versus brother, Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. Do you feel this match has also been overshadowed by everything else going on with the Bloodline? Because I think it has.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, again, you kind of go back to that, like, what have been the big moments of this story? The big moments have been Jimmy turned on Jey at SummerSlam last year, and then they've been apart, and then Jimmy cost Jey the IC title a couple of weeks ago, and that's it. Like, I think this feud has felt ice cold.
Well, I think pretty much including everything else that happened before that, where they were like arguing and the decision and just everything that happened. So I feel like this has been just like, I mean, they're brothers, right? So it's a long story.
Yeah. I suppose you can argue it that way. Absolutely. I take that. Yeah. I feel this is ice cold right now. I don't think this has got the heat in it that it should have. I think this should feel like a bigger match. And I think you're right. Like, it's just been overshadowed by why isn't Jey involved in the Bloodline story? Like, why is he not involved with Cody and Seth? He sort of is, but he's not part of the tag match. And it just feels like it's kind of been pushed to one side.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, when I realized it at the Royal Rumble, because when they came face to face with one another, all of it, like, there was no reaction. And I'm thinking to myself, we're seeing brother versus brother right now in the Rumble, and there's no reaction. What the hell?
Yeah, and it should be. This is the first time they've been together since Jey left SmackDown and went across to Raw. This should feel like a big moment, and it kind of didn't. And I think part of that as well is because since Jey's gone over to SmackDown, Jimmy's just been playing up the goofball character. He's been the big goofy guy in the Bloodline. But when he's in the ring with Jey, he's super serious. And I'm like, oh, I'm scowling at you. I was like, oh, what is your character then? Are you oddball goof man? Or are you super serious Jimmy Uso? Because I don't think the two really mesh together.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. There's been some clear differences on that. And they could have definitely heated up the story a lot more. So I agree with you. So who's winning?
I think Jey's winning. I don't think Jimmy's got a chance of winning here, personally.
Aw, poor Jimmy. But I agree with you too, though. I really do agree with you. I think Jey's got more of the interest. He's got more of the cool character right now. He's the cool cat, you know? He's out there eating, hanging out with the celebs. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I agree with that.
Lil Wayne's probably going to play him out. I like it.
I know.
He'll have the big entrance.
Yeah, that'll be cool. All right, we got four more matches to get into. Here we go, the six-pack ladder match. We got all these teams here. God, Miz and R-Truth, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. We got DIY, Judgment Day, and The New Day. And people here are expecting for the titles to be split. Are you expecting this? And if so, who gets the titles?
That is what they said on Raw, right? Because I've been fantasy booking
apparently
for a while.
The fans said that Michael Cole said, I don't remember this on Raw, but apparently, or maybe I just didn't hear it. Michael Cole had said that the match is not over until both belts have been taken down.
That's what I heard as well. So my understanding is this is the match to split the belts up. I know like fans have been fantasy booking this for a while. I'd been sort of pitching this for a while as well, that you have the moment where the belts are brought down by two different teams and that's how you split them. But it feels like they have just made it official. This is the match to split these belts up. So I feel like we need to pick two winners for this match.
All right. So I'm going to go with the teams that I'm would want to see, but I don't think they're actually going to win. I'm going to go with DIY. Mm-hmm. And then, hell, I'm going to go with freaking Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, just for the hell of it.
I think Awesome Truth are winning the Raw belts. This story has been Damian Priest versus R-Truth, and it's been... I'm stunned that this is a six-pack challenge, because they were telling for... They were building the story for week
I'm
on week.
Glad. But it's gonna be... I'm not interested in... I'm sorry. I'm not that big of a fan of the Miz R-Truth thing. I know. Yeah. I'm in the minority here.
Dude, neither am I. I didn't like it when they were together the first time around. Like,
yeah, I laughed a few times. I chuckled here and there, but this is... I think there's people out there that just love it a little bit more than I do.
I think the WWE have pulled back on it, because it felt like they were really driving this is going to be Awesome Truth versus Judgment Day for the tag belts, and then got a little bit cold feet on it, so just started adding more and more teams into it. But I still think the Awesome Truth get their moment. R-Truth is, hey, they said it on Raw, he's been with WWE since the year 2000, Denise. Like,
oh, man.
So, you know, if he's been in the company for 25 years and he hasn't had a WrestleMania moment, then, like, he's got to...
happening. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's getting... I think they've been telling the story he's going to get his WrestleMania moments, and he gets it with The Miz and they win the tag belts. And I think British Strong Style, New Catch Republic win the other set of belts.
Oh, we're so different on this one. I just went with like whatever. I was like, I'm cool. Honestly, I don't think that any of these teams here in particular are necessarily, you know, driving my boat. I don't even know that's a saying, but it's a saying now.
It is one now.
It is one now. That's like, there's nothing there for me with this one. This
are you trying to say that they're not floating your boat? They don't float your boat?
Yeah, they're not floating my boat. They're not there floating it. They're not driving it. There's no cute little picnic on it. There's nothing happening on this fucking boat. It's just parked at the dock. No gas. Literally. That's my boat.
That's Denise's boat.
It's gonna be fun. Yeah. And honestly, look at it. Look at this match. Like, there you got some really, you know, New Day is gonna go out there and do some fun stuff. I'm expecting Johnny Gargano to do some fun stuff. There's gonna be fun stuff in this match, but again, my boat's just parked.
Yeah. If we got a parked up boat right here.
All right, next one here. Let's get into LA Knight versus AJ Styles. What's this doing to your boat?
It's making me wonder why the LA Knight's not in the US title match. But like, this should feel like a big match. It's LA Knight going up against AJ Styles.
Someone said my boat is sinking. My boat's Titanic.
No, I think I preferred your analogy of your boat is stationary. Your boat is not sinking yet.
No, there's other matches that... Well, I don't think there's anything on this card that has my boat sinking, but anyways,
yeah. Because even this, like, I don't feel like this is a particularly like strong match. I enjoyed the home invasion angle that they did. I thought that was fun. But I feel like, and LA Knight doing the Gene Parmesan gimmick on SmackDown. But yeah, I kind of wanted something bigger for LA Knight. I feel like he deserves something bigger, which just feels like it's weird because it's AJ Styles and he's like one of the best to ever do this. So it should feel like it's a big match, but this feels quite mid-card. Feels almost like I said on a previous show, this feels like a match that would be on Fastlane, and it doesn't feel like it's a WrestleMania match. With that said, I think LA Knight wins. And I think this is one of those that has the potential to be a real like sleeper hit of the show.
See, I just know that AJ Styles is going to carry LA Knight to a phenomenal match.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why I'm looking forward to it. I think you're right in the sense that the only thing that's really been interesting was the home invasion angle. And even then, they left me wanting more. Like, I didn't want it to end as fast as it did. I wanted to see, you know, more fighting. Like, come on, you got a whole ass house to play with. Like, have some fun or a whole lawn, whatever you want to do. I think they could have done a little bit more there with the home invasion angle. But that's kind of been it. And I'll be real with you. I'm rooting for AJ Styles here.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, like I think this is one of those matches that could go either way.
I kind of hope it does. I just really like AJ Styles. I'm sorry. I'm just a big AJ Styles fan. And I just want to see AJ Styles win.
I'm TNA 05 diehard. So like I'm looking for AJ to get the win here as well. But I think it's LA Knight's time. This is a real TNA battle. It's a battle of former TNA world champions.
You're right on that. But is it his time? Has there been it, or has some of it cooled down?
I think you're right. I think a lot of it has cooled off. I think I'm holding on to the pop that he got in London last year. I think I'm holding on to that still. But I think you're right. I think since Crown Jewel, it's hugely cooled off.
A couple months, if this match was happening a couple months ago, I would have been like, yeah, for sure. It's LA Knight's time. Now I'm like, ah, they could probably have AJ get this one.
Yeah, I think you're right.
We got Ice-T. Here says, don't be upset with my cheeky comment. It's all love. Hey, man. You say, as long as there's no craziness in the chat, I'm good with it. If it's all pro wrestling talk, it's pro wrestling talk. Like, I don't get mad about people's pro wrestling opinions.
Absolutely. Well, that would be an insane thing to do, Denise. That's why I got off Twitter, because people get...
You effing think that your boat is sinking in this match? How disrespectful. But I don't know. You know how it is. But all social media is like that, though. I see a lot of people hate on Twitter, and I'm like, nah, it's everywhere. It's not just Twitter.
I feel like it's... Maybe I just see it on Twitter more. But well, at least that day when I was on.
Maybe because you had a bigger following on Twitter.
I've got a very small following on Instagram. They just want to see like pictures of, you know, me on the tube, and they're quite happy with that.
Is your Instagram page private or public?
It's public.
Okay.
It's public. It's just people don't really care about me, Denise. That's the problem.
Don't say that. That's not true at all. We got Kid Cudi here, who sends in a super chat. Thank you so much to Kid Cudi, who says, hey, Denise, long time no speak. Luke, just want to say this WrestleMania is going to be lit. Feel like everybody on the card is going to give 110% entertainment incoming. I agree. We were just talking earlier how we're so excited. Well, imagine how the talent feels that's actually on the card getting WrestleMania moments.
100. And actually, Kid Cudi there, 110%. Like, I think this is a fired up roster where everyone feels like a star, everyone feels like they're over, and they're going to go out there. Even matches like this or Jay and Jimmy that feels a bit cold, I think they're going to go in with fire in their belly to make this feel big time, and will succeed in doing so as well.
Fire in their belly. They must be eating hot Cheetos, Luke.
Eating them Takis.
Yeah, that's where I got you addicted to Takis.
Dude, I was at, like, I saw a shop in London, in Kent that was selling Takis, right?
You sent me the picture. I was shocked.
That was when I was in Spain. So I saw them. They were selling them there. But, like, in my hometown, there was, like, a specialist seller that had them there. They were £7 a packet because they were paying, like, import charges on them and stuff. I was like, look, I think these things are delicious, but I'm not paying £7 for a packet of crisps.
That's a lot of money. Sorry, there's a freaking lawnmower coming through. Thanks, dude. Doing a show over here. Jesus, that is loud.
That is loud. Is he doing it in your room?
Sorry, I keep muting myself so you guys won't hear the lawnmower, but I can see him right now. He's literally right next to me, but he'll leave pretty soon. In the meantime, let's get your thoughts on this match here, and that is Dragon Lee, Rey Mysterio versus Santos and Dominic. How are you feeling about it?
They kind of sort of like inserted Dom into this story, like randomly, like the last couple of weeks, to be like, oh yeah, Dom hates his dad and he's gonna like interfere in his matches, and that sets up the tag match. I feel bad for Carlito. He was right there. Like, why isn't he tagging with Rey? Why isn't this an old generation versus new generation match? I think that's got a fun gimmick to it. But Dragon Lee gets on the card, so that's awesome. And I think Santos gets on the card. That's great. Rey gets his moment. And I think because Rey won last year, I think you can give Dominic his moment this year. And I think you can have Santos pin Rey. But on the other hand, you are trying to push Dragon Lee as the Rey placement, as your new Rey Mysterio.
So maybe this is
Dragon Lee's time. I'm torn on this one, actually. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, I could see this going either way. What do you think?
I think so, too. It could go either way. But I think you're wrong on wanting to have Carlito in this match. I'm sorry. This is the way better match. I haven't seen them really do. Like, Carlito's just been there.
Oh, yeah. I thought they were waiting for the moment to do something. And I thought this might have been the moment to do something.
I think they've been keeping things very, very limited with Carlito. And it's obvious. And so that I'm just like, all right, cool. Like, we're getting all this, you know, I prefer seeing these guys in this match. I know that Dragon Lee's going to kill it. I know they're all going to kill it, honestly. Uh-huh. I think you're right in this one where I think it's like you make people happy. You have your baby faces win. Cool. Continue to push Dragon Lee alongside Rey Mysterio. But then at the same time, I personally think the heels are winning on this one because, like you mentioned, last year, we already got that happy moment with Santos and Rey Mysterio and the LWO and all of that. We already saw that. I want them to have the heels win, and then I want to see this, like, I don't know, continue this feud to get darker and meaner and more savage between Rey and Santos because Santos has shown us that he can be a really great heel, and I think they can amplify that a little bit more.
I agree with you because the other thing is Andrade, and like he's getting in with Dom on Raw, and they had the moment with Andrade and Judgment Day, and Legado del Fantasma were there as well. And like Andrade, you know, he's got the stipulation where he gets to join Judgment Day if he beats Ricochet, but I get the feeling that Andrade's got other plans in mind of maybe starting his own faction.
I would like that. Honestly, I would like that. I think that would be really cool, but we'll see what happens there. I've been a little confused with that story. I'm just like, once things start looking more clearer, I'll get a feel for it. But anyways, all right. So let's go ahead and move on. We got one last match to get into. Oh, this is the one. This is my Titanic right here. This is my Titanic. That shit's sinking. Street Profits versus the Final Testament. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like this Bobby Lashley Street Profits thing ain't working for me, and this wish.com ministry is really not working for me.
Imagine ordering a ministry on wish.com. Well, ministry, please.
Yeah, I want a ministry of darkness from wish.com, and the Final Testament arrived. Like it's not working for me, brother. And I, Karrion Kross gets chance after chance after chance, and I don't think any of it's ever really clicked. And I feel bad because, like, I've never met the dude. From what I gather, he's a proper nice bloke. I wish him nothing but the best. But unfortunately, just like everything they've tried, just hasn't worked. I don't know whether it's him. I don't know whether it's the booking, but something just isn't clicking. And this ain't clicking for me either.
It's not. And I had like false excitement when this thing started, and I think it was just like denial. I think I was just trying to get excited about something, and it just hasn't really. I think it's brought down the Street Profits. It's brought down Bobby Lashley. I was way more interested in the AOP way long time ago. The last time we saw them in WWE, I was way more interested in them then. I don't know. This just hasn't been working at all. Like, I don't even care who wins. I do care. I prefer the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley to win because I'm like, if this is one of those things where like, if I can, I'm in a cliff and I'm holding one team on each hand, who am I dropping? I'm unfortunately dropping the Final Testament.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is... Bobby didn't get on the show last year, so I think he give him a WrestleMania win this year. Like, I that makes sense to me.
Yeah, that was unfortunate, but you know what? Things happen, and you know, stuff happens. Alrighty, so I think that's it, actually. Well, we went through all of the matches.
There's one more match. We got Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi against Damage Control.
Shit. Did they not put the little picture on here? How can I forget? I must have not downloaded the picture and I just completely forgot. Whoops. I was so excited that they made that match. Damn, how embarrassing. All right. Hold on. Why isn't... okay. It's not on WWE's website on the WrestleMania section. I guess they forgot to add it in the card here. So that's why I didn't download the picture. because the picture is not up here. So blame WWE.com for this. Look, I'm even double checking and the picture's not there. Anyways.
All right. For shame, WWE.com.
Yes, it's not there. Don't blame me, guys. Blame WWE.com. It ain't there. All right. So we got Damage Control versus Naomi and Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. And the way that they closed off SmackDown with that, ooh, that was good.
And honestly, what a superstar presentation Cargill got on SmackDown. Like, I don't think you could have asked for a more perfect debut of coming in, looking awesome, getting that cool entrance, cutting a short, snappy promo. This is who I am. This is my character. This is why I'm here. And then in your main event, inserting yourself into a storyline that features the women's tag team champions, the Royal Rumble winner, the women's champion, and Bianca Belair and the returning Naomi. I don't think you could ask for more for a debut of a character of like Jade Cargill. Plus, you put in a trios match where it's a match designed to hide weaknesses and accentuate positives. She can just get in there, do five moves, look awesome doing it, and she's going to feel awesome coming out of this match.
Honestly, copy and paste what you just said, because it's true. Like, she's going to look good. They're going to keep her. They're going to, like you said, accentuate her strengths rather than her flaws. And, you know, people are going to be excited. People are going to be excited to judge how Jade Cargill does in this match. And that's key right there. So they are going to have to make sure that, you know, she's, very ready for this match, because it's WrestleMania. This isn't even Raw. This isn't even SmackDown. This is WrestleMania. And the fact that she went from Royal Rumble to a Royal Rumble moment, right? She comes in, she has her moments. Then she has a promo on SmackDown. Then WrestleMania match. How many people wouldn't kill for an opportunity like that? Like, there's people probably going like, God damn, that should be me or whatever, right?
But yeah, like, absolutely.
So now she's got to go through and she's going to look great. I believe she's going to look great. But obviously that comes a lot with just like the layout of the match and what they have her do in the actual matchup. But I have a feeling they're going to have her look really strong.
Yeah, I think you build to the Cargill hot tag. You have Bianca and Naomi do the bulk of the work with Damage Control, build to the Cargill hot tag, go in, do your five moves. I would probably give Bianca the pin to continue that WrestleMania streak. But I also don't see the problem in giving Cargill the win, because Bianca still wins. So she still is undefeated at WrestleMania. But yeah, I think you focus a lot of the attention on Cargill here. I think that's the whole point of the match. And I think she's going to look great doing it. And I think it's a smart, smart move.
Yeah, it does feel like that's the whole point of the match here, but I'm excited for it. Really excited that they paired up all these girls together, because they just looked very freaking cool. And there was a shot of them posting at like pointing to the WrestleMania sign, and I was like, damn, just looked very, very awesome.
It looked so cool.
And I think that's it now. Yes.
That's right? All the matches. That is every match. Yeah.
Again, blame WWE.com. I just went and I was like, download all the images. And that's how I went about it. All right. So before we go, just a friendly reminder to everybody that I will be back tonight with Malcolm. He's going to be filling in for Reg for the AEW Dynamite post show. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Tomorrow I fly out to Philly. So there's going to be a ton of WrestleMania content happening. Luke, it's going to be wild. We got Ice-T here who says, can Luke say Bianca again, please? And Aluminum.
Bianca and Aluminium. What's wrong with Bianca?
I just realized you're like Bianca.
Yeah, Bianca.
Bianca.
No, her name's Bianca.
Bianca.
So like on EastEnders, there was a character called Bianca, and she was quite famous to be Bianca. So no, like
the one that's say aluminum again?
Aluminium.
Wow. We just sound different.
Oregano. Like, there are some words that we just say they're a little bit different.
How did you say the aluminum again?
Aluminium.
Aluminium.
There you go.
If I went someplace here in the States and I was like, can I please have some aluminium? People would be like, what the are she talking about?
Well, also, why would they ask? Why are you asking for aluminium? Like, what are you going to like Home Depot? So, can I have some aluminium, please?
Yes. No, my favorite one that you say is Oscar.
Asuka.
Oh, you changed it.
No, it's because I just repeat what you said, Asuka.
Yeah, because you used to say Asuka.
Because her name's Asuka. It's how you Asuka. Say it. No, it's not. It's Asuka.
Now I'm already all confused. I love it, though. I love the difference in how we say things. It's very, very fun. Someone wants you to say vitamins.
Vitamins.
Oh my God.
They're vitamins. Vitamin B, vitamin C.
Vitamins.
Yeah, vitamins. Vitamins.
Oh man.
I also said route one rather than route one.
Route one, route one. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Route, roots. Something, yeah. Sometimes I'll say route.
Yeah, it's because that's the right way to say it. Route one. And it's you take the route home.
There's been times where it's accidentally come out where I'm like, oh yeah, that route over there or a route. I don't know. I don't know anymore.
It's not a router, it's a router.
Oh my gosh. Wait, you say router?
No. Yeah, the router. Yeah.
It's router. Inter,
yeah, plug it into the router.
Oh my gosh, I love it. All right, well, I will keep you here telling the whole dictionary, but before we go, Luke, what's going on? What do you need to plug? Go for it.
I'll plug all the WrestleTalk stuff that we're doing, daily news videos in the lead up to WrestleMania. We're going to be doing live reactions partnered with Hooked on Wrestling. We're going to be doing live reactions from a pub in London in Shoreditch with 300 wrestling fans behind us. So come and join us for our live reactions for night one, night two. We'll have reviews going up on the WrestleTalk news channel, podcast reviews going up on the podcast channel. We've got some Parts of Unknown content going up as well. This Friday, in fact, sponsored by 2K24, we're doing a WWE 2K24 tournament. We're doing a G1 round robin style tournament to crown eventual winner. Me and Ollie are having a match to determine whether the Steinemath is the best promo compared to CM Punk's pipe bomb, because we all know Steinemath is a better promo than the pipe bomb. And I'm going to definitively prove that by beating him in 2K24. Yeah,
but
so
they're two totally different promos.
Yeah, I know, and one of them's better than the other. So I'm going to prove that by winning a video game contest.
Okay,
so,
makes all the sense in the world. Yes.
So that's this Friday over on Parts of Unknown. You can check me out on Instagram. This is Luke.Owen. So yeah, check me out over on Instagram.
Mean comments.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah, I've got time for mean comments. I will block your ass if you come in with some negativity on my Instagram, even in a joking manner, because I won't know you're joking. I will insta-block you. I ain't got time for that anymore. But yeah, check me out over there. I'm all over the place.
And you're like, I'm too old for this shit.
I am. I turn 40 next year, Denise. I am too old for negative comments.
Oh my God, you get to do the little thing, the I'm a man, I'm 40 thing.
Is that a thing?
Yes. I forgot the name of the guy, but basically it's this coach who went off on the media, I think, for how they handled something of one of the players on the team who was like 25 years old or something. This is a long time ago. And he goes off on a whole freaking rant and he starts saying how like, he's all like, why didn't you guys come after me? I'm a man. I'm 40. I can take it. I'm not some young kid. But the funny part is that he's like, I'm a man. I'm 40. So just search it up on YouTube and you'll see the whole thing. It's very funny. So you can do that.
I was going to say, otherwise, I'm going to start doing the CM Punk thing of just like, I'm old, I'm tired, I work with fucking children. Everyone in this office is younger than me now. Like, I'm on videos with people who are in their 20s. Like, they're all like young pups nowadays. The new generation is coming, which is good, by the way. I think the new generation of wrestling commentators should be coming in. But yeah, I turn 40 next year. So I'm too old for your Instagram negativity. I want nice times.
I love it. All right, you guys, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for Luke Owen for taking the time to join me here today. And we'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye, everyone.
Bye.